Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I have the special privilege of interviewing IFBB professional Naima Chu. She is the host of the Bikini Diaries podcast, as I'm sure most listeners know her. And she is also the founder of My Affirmation Clothing line. She is a mindset coach and head coach of Vibe Athletics. And so, Naima, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, girlfriend.
I'm so excited you're here. So let's just start a little bit with just your background, where you're from, and kind of like what your education is and things like that.
Beautiful. Okay. Let me think. So I am basically a Floridian. I've been in Florida since I was like a baby. I also have a degree in international studies and French. Most people don't know that, but I actually have two diplomas. I've been a coaching since I was pretty young. So I like when it comes to fitness coaching and stuff, I really got my feet wet when I started as a body flow instructor when I was like 19 years old. And then I've also done like Orange Theory instructing. And then what I'm currently doing is online fitness. So that's a little bit different. As far as like certifications and fitness, that would be like my NASM certification. I've also gone through, goodness, I can't even remember the name of it. I guess it wasn't that great of a certification. No, I'm just kidding. There's a couple other ones. And then also Lane Norton certification. He has a really good one that he put out that I finished as well, which I really like. And then I also have a couple in mindset too. So I think I answered your question.
Yeah. So what is the name of the one that Lane Norton puts out?
Yeah, so it's like training the physique athlete, and then he has like a nutrition of science. There was two of them that I took. Okay. And it was pretty informative. Like he really goes through reverse dieting, diet breaks, just how to put someone in a deficit, like all of these things that most of us kind of know, but he gives you like practical formulas that you can use to make sure that you're actually executing these things properly, different signs to look out for. And I don't know, I just thought it was very educational. I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. And what specifically is your mindset training in?
Yeah, so I recently finished HMCC. That is a health coaching certification, mindset certification through Casey. And she is a psychologist. So she really puts in her psychology background and teaches us a lot about like the theories and human behavior and all of that stuff. And then also NLP. So that's a little bit different. That's neuro-linguistic programming. And that's more about deep inner subconscious mindset reprogramming. So I really enjoyed both of those. And those have been super helpful in the practice that I have now.
Okay. And when and where did you get your pro card?
Yay! Oh my goodness. I love this question. It's so funny because anytime I think about getting my pro card, I always think about like getting married, you know, like it's such a big day. Yes. Oh my God. It's such a wonderful day. You think back and you're like, wow, so beautiful. You'll never forget it. So actually I turned pro in 2017 at the amateur Olympian contest. And it was actually the first amateur Olympia contest. And that was a really, really amazing show because when they did it, like I said, it was the first time they had did it in Vegas. And I got second overall and they were only giving out two pro cards. So I was very fortunate to get that pro card in that entire show. So I was very, very, very excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what height class were you?
I honestly can't even remember. I think I'm usually like F or yeah, I can't remember. Okay. So you're around that time, I remember that's when they extended the high classes. So normally I'd be like a D, but then I think at that time, that year is when they started extending them and they added two extra high classes. So I kind of got moved and then I just didn't know where I like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because they added H and G. Okay. Got it. So what kind of inspired you to start your bodybuilding career?
That's a really good question. So I think my mother probably helped me get started. I remember watching my mother as a little kid. She was always running down Bayshore. She was super healthy. She was always like tracking her meals and weighing out her food. And I just always thought it was very interesting. And so in high school, they actually had a bodybuilding competition there. That was the first time I was ever really introduced to the sport. And I'll never forget because it was my sophomore year and I went to watch the bodybuilding show and I had never seen so many people in an auditorium in my life. Like in my life, I was like, oh my God, there's so many people here. And I was in drama. So I did drama all 4 years of high school, 2 years in college. Like that was my thing. And they had never packed out a show like that. Like it was incredible. And it was beautiful. I loved watching it. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I have to do this. I have to do this. This is going to be so amazing. And so I did, and I won. And I was really, really excited. And after that, I took some time to get an education and I came right back to the sport.
Awesome. So, who was the mentor that kind of, directed that whole thing? I mean, who kind of monitored your diet and your training to get you ready for that?
Back in the day, like when I was
Yeah.
in high
For the
school,
high school and yeah.
that's a really good question. So actually, I think my mother helped me quite a bit, but then there was also like a local coach. I think he was a bodybuilder. I remember his wife specifically. She was a figure competitor, and the reason why I remembered her is because I actually wore one of her suits. So she let me borrow one of her suits. And I mean, when I say figure, it's like a figure suit, you know? They didn't have that bikini back in the day.
Right.
And so you did like bodybuilding poses. And then of course it's high school too. So you just kind of did like the bodybuilding mandatories. And yeah, so he really, really helped me that year. And then I remember my senior year when I did the show again, there was a local store in the town that I lived in, and they were super helpful too. So I would meet with them and they would help me here and there, and they were super helpful.
Okay, and so when you picked it back up, what kind of got that going again? What rekindled the spark?
You know, I really don't remember the very moment that rekindled the spark, but I remember wanting to do it again, and I remember one of my closest friends, she was actually interested in competing. And so we were supposed to do it together. And so we were kind of like helping. Well, she was more helping me than I was helping her, believe it or not, because she just had a very extensive nutrition background. And unfortunately, she never made it to compete, but she was someone who definitely helped me with my first show.
Okay. And how long did it take you to earn pro status? How much time did you spend in a regional kind of stage? And then when did you move on to nationals? And what was kind of that process leading up to the pro card?
Absolutely. So after my first year, I qualified for nationals. So I want to say it was probably like my first NPC show. Because the first show I ever did when I came back was it was like a natural federation and it
Okay.
was a local and they were new and it was such a great time. And then my second show after that was an NPC show. So I did qualify there. And my first year I went to nationals. Terrible, terrible, terrible girl. I got last call outs, as did most. Really good experience. And after that, like the following year, I just stayed at nationals. Like I never went back to a regional show. I stayed at nationals. My second national show, I came in fifth place. And that really, I think, really helped me, I guess, get into that top five placing because after that I just kept getting like top five. I think I placed top five at seven national shows out of 13 that I did. And 4 years, yeah, it was 4 years later that I finally got that pro card. So I was the one of the girls that were like, yay, fifth place again, yay, third place again, yay, second place again. And I've done like these national circuits, like, or these national shows, I've done several of them. And some of them, a couple of times, so 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I remember you got second at North Americans when we competed together. What would you say is one of your favorite national shows if people were to kind of like pick out a national show that has a good format?
I would actually say that one. I really,
Good
really
format.
enjoyed North Americans. I think I love that city so much. I don't know if it's because I have really good friends there, but I mean, I love it. Like, you're right by the water. It's really breezy. I think Bikini has their own day now. Like, the show is completely different than when, back in the day that when we were competing at that show, but I really, really love that show. It's a really good one.
Awesome. Is there anything that's unique about your training and nutrition style or methods that you either personally use, or I know that you, and we can get more into the coaching side of it, but it sounds like you do some online coaching. So are you specifically lifestyle type of coach, or do you coach competitors as well?
Yeah, so I coach both.
Okay.
I absolutely have a love for both.
And so, is there anything unique about your training style or your programming that you implement with your athletes?
Yeah, so I would say something that's super unique is just the formatting of everything. So I use Trainerize, and I know a lot of coaches use that now, and that's something that I highly recommend for a lot of coaches that are starting out. Like, I know you probably have a wide range, variety of listeners, and that's just something that I highly recommend. I really enjoy it because it allows the customer to have such an amazing experience. My girls get the opportunity of tracking their weight. They get the opportunity of really keeping all of their measurements in a specific place. They get an opportunity of keeping their check-in photos in a specific place, and it's really fun and super friendly. As far as like my style though, I really, really advocate for rest, and I really advocate for listening to your body. So I like my girls working out 5 days a week. I like them to have 2 full off days. I also like if there's a specific client that is a competitor, I don't like to completely introduce cardio right away. I like to take a slow and easy approach. If I have a lifestyle client, I don't like to introduce a million different things to them at once because I really do want this to be a lifestyle for them that they can do forever. I want it to be where after you work with me, you literally feel like you can continue to do this for the rest of your life and it not feel like, oh my goodness, how do I do this? Oh my God, I need more accountability. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. My style, I guess, of coaching is a little bit different than others because when I decided that I wanted to be a coach, I only wanted to do it if I could do it the way that I wanted to do it. And for the longest time, I didn't think that that was possible because I didn't really see something out there that was like more me. And so what I mean by that is that, and I know this is like answering the question long-winded, but I think it's kind of important. What I mean by that is like going through the coaches that I have, I've loved every single coach that I've worked with, honestly, and I've learned so much from them. But one thing that I felt like I was really missing, and something that I've, recently discovered and learned so much more about, and it's not so much recent anymore, but it's just the power of mindset. It's the power of connection. It's the power of really forming that relationship that's going to really help me overcome like the struggles and limiting beliefs and things that, if someone gives you an exercise program and a diet program, it's really hard to overcome those things just by doing them, right? So I said, if I'm going to coach, I want to do it differently. So my girls, we actually meet with each other weekly, and we have one-on-one time together. And that's where I incorporate mindset. That's where we really work on limiting beliefs. That's where we work on, like if you weren't adherent to the plan, why was that? Is there something we need to change? Is there something we need to address? Questions that you may have, like you never feel like you're a bother. You never feel like you can't access me because we're always in contact with each other. And then you get that deep support during that time. And what I found is it's been very, very transformative for a lot of people to be able to connect with their coach on that deeper level, and then also be able to really shift their entire, I guess, lifestyle and just really shift who they are from the identity level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think with our coaching as well, we do the 30-minute phone calls every week, and there's so much more that can be, you know, brought to the surface, you know, that's not typed out, you know, when you can talk with somebody and see them and go through these problems, it really just helps, you know, find what those kind of obstacles that they're maybe didn't even realize were there. But I wanted you to talk a little bit more about how you help your athletes and clients overcome their limiting beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where like a lot of my mindset training comes in. And it really just depends on the client. So before we even like start the programming, we really get clear on what it is that we're trying to achieve. So we do visualization exercises. We do goal setting and things that are really going to set them up for success. We do get really clear on what our why is. And a lot of times just having that picture is something that's going to help you be very successful. And oftentimes people don't realize like the power of visualization because they don't actually understand what's really happening. So with our brain and how it works, we are very visual people, and how we communicate is through pictures. So if I tell you, you know, hey, like I'm having such a wonderful day, the sun is bright and it looks amazing, and I'm dancing in the streets and I'm walking and I see a beautiful dog, like literally that's what you envision, right? You envision the sun. You probably saw me dancing. You probably saw the dog on the street too. Like you really went through this whole thing as I'm communicating to you, because that's how you see things and that's how you communicate. So we, because of who we are as people and how we interpret things, we literally tell ourselves exactly what to do based on how we envision it. So a really good example of that is like, have you ever told yourself like, don't trip, and then you trip? Well, the reason why that happens is because when you said to yourself, don't trip, you saw a picture of you tripping. And so instantly your body did whatever it is that you saw. Okay. So like, that's why visualization is so powerful, because the more that we envision the thing that we want to achieve, the more that our subconscious mind can be there to support us through that vision, because it knows whatever it is that you want to do, because that's essentially like, you know, what you're trying to achieve. So back to your question about like the things that we do. So with NLP, there are a couple different techniques. Single belief change is super helpful with limiting beliefs. There are some time techniques that we can do as well to also help with limiting beliefs. And then also, like I said, we get really clear on that vision. We do some visualization. And then also, and this one's actually really good too. I'll say this because I think this is super important. Just good old-fashioned question asking. In NLP, it's called the meta model. And what it is it's really good questions that you ask people so that they can uncover these things for themselves. You know, as coaches, like, I don't sit there and, like, give advice. I'm not like, oh, you should do that. Like, I don't know what the person should do. They know what they should do because they know what's best for them. So a lot of times when you ask really good questions, you really start to, or I should say they really start to uncover, you know, what it is that's holding them back. And they really get to the root cause of things. And then they also come up with the best solutions that they know is going to work for themselves. What I find to be very powerful is that oftentimes we're not really even having these questions asked. We're not having these questions being asked. We're not having to think about these things. So we can't really fix anything that we're not aware of. But once we become aware of it, that's where you start to see a lot of shifts and people are like, wow, I got this. And then it's like the most amazing thing because you're like, wow, you're like a completely different person. Like, you know, people believe in themselves. They feel empowered and then they gain autonomy, which is so powerful. You never want to take that away from someone.
Yeah, I love that. I always feel like if you haven't solved the problem, you haven't asked enough questions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, let's go into a little bit about what you do for support to help competitors with things like food triggers, body dysmorphia, hunger cues. I believe that that's part of your mindset training. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely not like if someone has like a specific eating disorder or anything, I would refer them out. Like I'm not someone who's going to help you with your eating disorder because that's not my scope of practice. And I would recommend someone go to like a doctor or someone to help them with that specifically. Sure. But when it comes to forming a healthier relationship with food, there are some techniques that I do teach clients. And this is something that I recommend that everyone get familiar with. And that really is the hunger scale. That's really getting really in tune with your body. Something that I find to be very fascinating, but something that happens very often is that when we start to compete, we like really, really disconnect from our body. We're super disconnected because we're after that one goal. You know, we're eating our meals, we're getting the food in, we've got a certain amount of food that we're eating, you know, we have to get this food in at these times, and we're very, very diligent. And then after the show's over, we have no idea how to eat. We have no idea how we feel. And I'm sure a lot of people listening in know exactly what I'm saying. I remember after a show, like DMing my friends, a couple of friends that I have, and I asked them, like, am I ever going to be able to eat like a normal person? Like, I feel so weird. So what I find, you know, super helpful is really gaining that connection back to your body and understanding exactly what your body needs and what it wants at specific times. And then also using that hunger scale. So knowing like, okay, am I really hungry? Am I not hungry? Like, am I eating too much? And if I'm eating too much, why am I eating too much? So I find that when you do this, when you're in prep, this really helps you for when you come out of prep, because you've already taught yourself how to listen to your body and basically give it what it wants. So the next thing that I would like to also share as far as like helping with creating a healthy relationship with food, in this one is actually very, very important. It is understanding why the issue is happening. So like if you're someone who tends to cheat on, I hate the word cheat, but not follow the plan or go off plan, there may be a reason for that. And oftentimes what happens that I find that happens very often is that we eat when we're not hungry. And when we're eating when we're not hungry, that's emotional hunger that we're trying to satisfy. And because it's something emotional and it's not something physical, you can never satisfy something physical with something emotional. So once you figure out that the client is dealing with emotional hunger, then you can figure out, well, what is it that they're emotionally hungry for, and how can they incorporate those things back into their life?
Ooh, I love that. That's awesome. Okay. So when you think about what's been your biggest challenge? I mean, you referenced a little bit about some of the things that you've felt during your preps. What would you say has been your biggest challenge when it comes to competing for you personally?
I've had so many challenges. I've had all the challenges. There's a couple. So I would say the food definitely was a challenge. I would say the one that I mentioned, you know, being in my improvement season and feeling completely disconnected from my body, you know, eating when I'm not hungry, and, you know, definitely allowing a lot of that emotional hunger to dictate like when I ate and stuff. I never had like a binging thing. Like I've had episodes, but I've never been like an ongoing, like I just can't control myself type of thing. It's never been like that, but it's definitely been that complete like discomfort, feeling like you have to do something because that's who you've always been. So that identity, sometimes it's hard for us to shift our identity if we're so used to associating ourselves as a specific person. So this is kind of going a little deep. So when I was younger, I used to overeat as a kid. And what I mean by that is I would eat more than what other people were eating. And it's a couple reasons is because I felt like I wanted to be closer to the adults. So I ate what the adults did. And one time I had someone close to me had told me I'd never be a model because I ate so much. And I remember being so upset. I still remember this to this day. It's called trauma, right? So, so now I associate it since that time, I was 9 years old. I associated myself as someone who was an overeater for like my entire life. So being able to disassociate and not even like also disassociate, but realize that that's not true. Like that's a lie. And then also realizing that like you are whoever you want to be and you're not whoever like someone like that said that a million times, you know, a million years ago, probably didn't even mean anything by it, probably picking on you, you know, because you're a little kid, you know, like, that probably isn't true. So really having to form a different identity and really learn how to reconnect with my body and really just get rid of a lot of those limiting beliefs.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so that would be a major one, yeah. Like, yeah. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, that's great. Would you say that that was your most valuable lesson that you've learned from the sport? Or is there something that you would like to share with the listeners about a way that you feel like bodybuilding has enhanced your life as well?
I think that the most valuable lesson I have learned, which is so hard to say because there's so many valuable lessons, but it's literally what I preach in my podcast all the time. You know, anything in life is possible. Nobody is, I don't want to say special, we're all special, but I'm just saying like there's nothing different than you know, you're no different than the other people that you see around you who are being successful. And I do really truly believe that anything in life is possible and you can literally do anything in your life, anything you want. And I think that that was the most valuable thing that I've learned, you know, through competing. It's really showed me that like I literally could do anything and so can everyone around me. Another thing too, is that everyone is my teacher. Everyone that I meet, even you, Amy, even all of the listeners, like they're all my teacher. There's something new that I can learn from every single person and every single person that I come in contact with is valuable. They have value and they are love.
Awesome. That's very beautiful. So what motivated you to start the podcast? What kind of inspired that whole journey?
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember. I think that was part of the reason, like I really, memories are coming back. I really wanted to show people that anything in life is possible. I also, there was a part of me that felt a little sad after I turned pro. And I was like, nothing really happens when you turn pro. Like, you know, like I wish something could happen. And, you know, we go through all of this hard work and I just really want to feel validated. And I want to create a platform where women who turn pro can feel, you know, appreciated and supported and not so much put on a pedestal because I feel like, you know, we all have value, but it's nice to like, you know, be able to showcase the different pros' experiences and stories, and then other people allow them to also benefit from that. So a really good story is coming to my mind right now is so Emily Hayden, I freaking loved her when I was competing and I used to watch her YouTube videos all the time. Like I was so ingrained in them. Like I love them. They were like, they were my thing.
Yeah. I like her podcast too.
Yeah. So I remember like feeling so, such a way, like so just connected and just, oh my God, like out of this world. I can't even explain it. Mm-hmm. And I remember like feeling like, oh my gosh, like I want to make someone else feel the way that I do right now. Like, how can I make someone else feel this amazing? Like so motivated, so empowered, so inspired, so connected. I was like, I really want to do this because this is like the most amazing feeling ever. And when podcasting, I started listening to podcasts, and when I came up with the idea, I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like maybe I can like do this way, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have followed her and know what I'm talking about. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's so amazing. It's really powerful.
I 100% agree. And then you have your own clothing line. Can you tell us a little bit about My Affirmation Clothing?
Yeah, definitely. So it's My Affirmation Footwear, and inside of the clothing, I put in powerful affirmations inside. So I really, really loved, I really love everything that it stands for. I love being able to, you know, wake up in the morning and read something on your clothing that just makes you feel so empowered and so loved and so joyed. And yeah, so that's the clothing line. Like I said, I love it. I love what it stands for. And I don't know. I just love it.
That's amazing. Yeah, you have so many ventures. So if you don't mind briefly telling us about kind of your tanning blueprint and your posing academy that you just launched.
Absolutely.
You have so many endeavors going on here.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. So I launched two courses this year, and literally I really hope that they change bodybuilding history. I've always wanted to create resources for competitors because I wanted to give something that like I just didn't have when I was competing. And the Tan Yourself Blueprint was the first course that I created. And basically it's just teaching people how to tan themselves. So it doesn't matter if you're female or male, because we all have to do the tanning. But it's a technique that I've always done. So I've also tanned with the companies as well, but I've definitely done a majority of it myself. I've also worked with other companies and I've tanned girls as well. And so it's a really good way to be able to save time, be able to save a ton of money. And something else that's happening right now, if I'm not sure if people are noticing it, but a lot of the pros are tanning themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they're not using these other companies anymore. Nothing against the companies at all, but I think it's just it's not going against the company. I think it's just the idea or just the having the freedom and the just choice and availability to just be able to do it yourself in the comfort of your own, you know, hotel room, whatever you want, mm-hmm. to get that same color that you want every single time. And you can change things too, because every stage color, like lighting, is going to be different. So you can tweak that depending on, you know, what stage you're going to be on. You can tweak it depending on like the color suit you have. And then also during the Tan Yourself Blueprint, I'm showing people using protein products. So, and if you're someone who likes a different company, it's totally fine. But the greatest thing is that you can take your products with you. So if you have a company that you love and you're like, I don't want to leave this company, take them with you. That way, everywhere you go, you always get to use that company.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. And so the other course that I have is the Bikini Diaries Posing Academy. So I freaking love it. So many girls have been seeing so much success inside of the academy. And basically what it is that it is literally like your posing guide. It breaks everything down step by step as if you've never posed before a day in your life. I wanted it to feel like, I don't know if you ever did the Taibo classes when you were younger. Did you do that?
Taibo? Yes.
Yeah, like the Taibo videos, uh-huh. where you're like in the living room punching. Yes. Yeah. So I wanted it to be kind of like that experience. So when you get it, it's literally like we're practicing, we're doing it step by step. Like I wanted it to be that kind of experience. You're doing it with me type of thing. So we go through all of the poses, we go through the routine, we actually go through like how to make it your own. So if you want to like, you know, do your different turns to the front, we go over the salute. I mean, we literally go over everything. I also have Deraja Hill, who was there to do this as well. She was my very special guest. So it's really awesome having her in there. I also have an exclusive interview with Becky Clausen, who is a pro head judge, and she has a phenomenal interview that we haven't released. It's inside the academy. And then there is also wellness posing too. So me and Deraja go through the wellness posing for girls who are thinking about transferring, or who like, I mean, it's really hard to find wellness posing. I haven't really found it anywhere. So it's really awesome to be able to have that there. And then I don't want to forget Angel Competition Bikini's virtual experience. So I really love this because it just gives you like the basics about suits. Mm-hmm. You know, I walk you through the basics, like different suit patterns and cuts and colors and stones. And, you know, if you wanted to go with Angel, how do you check out? How do you do the checkout process, you know? And so there's a really good amount of knowledge about that too. And so, yeah, so it's like, it's a big kahuna. It's a huge course.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's very comprehensive. So when you went from amateur to pro and your routine obviously changed a ton, what were some of your posing mentors and how was that transition going from amateur to pro for that longer posing routine?
That's a really good question. I'd really have to think about that because I don't want to not mention anyone. I would say that my coach really helped me at the time, and she also had posing coaches too. And so I think those posing coaches really did help me with that. I also think that was super helpful was watching a lot of the Olympia. So definitely going back and watching the Olympia. I will also say that posing was definitely something that came a little bit more naturally for me. I think it's because of my experience being in color guard when I was younger and then in drama and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So it did come a little bit more naturally for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're mm-hmm. used to performing and being on stage. So yeah, that makes total sense. In terms of your pro debut, can you tell us about that experience? And then how many pro shows have you done?
Yeah, absolutely. So the pro debut was amazing. We rented an Airbnb, and my father's no longer with us, but he was able to come and be there. And so was my grandmother, who's also no longer with us, but she was there as well. And my sisters were there, and my now husband was there, and it was such a wonderful experience. And it was in South Carolina, and I had just a really wonderful time. I felt like I was super supported by the people that I loved. I got first call outs. I think I landed in like eighth place after that.
Wow.
Sandy judged that show. She was awesome. I remember that Tara? Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. I love this woman. she won the show, and I just loved her so much, and I got to meet her. And it was such a really fun experience. After that, I actually, I want to say I've done about seven or eight shows after that. Shortly after that, my father passed away. So that I think I took maybe about 6 months off.
Yeah.
And then I came back to the sport. Not like I left, I just, you know, took some time.
Yeah.
And when I came back and I was like, oh, I'm doing this full out. And I competed in China, which was amazing.
Wow.
That's when I got to compete with Janet Leuk and oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm forgetting people's names. All the top girls. Laura Lee, sorry.
Yeah,
all of them. I'm so sorry. It's like, so I'm like thinking of all these memories. I'm thinking of all these girls. And so I got to compete with them, which was such a special time because me and Laura Lee actually got kind of close. She's such a wonderful person. I don't know if anyone's ever met her, but she's so, so sweet and so beautiful. And that was really, really fun. I have some fun stories from that show. And then I competed in Japan, and that was really another wonderful experience competing with a lot of the top pros. That's when I met Brina and so many other amazing, amazing athletes. And then I did a couple of shows just around the States. And then I decided to take some time off. I had gotten engaged. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this year to like just do my thing and get engaged and plan my wedding and be, you know, just a bride.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just going to be a bride for a while. We'll try this out. And that's what I decided to do. And now we are in our trying to conceive journey, our TTC journey. So that has been a whirlwind.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with all of that. That's amazing. So
thank you.
In terms of when you did those competitions, did you get any particular feedback, or do you think you'll pursue after, you know, starting your family? Do you think you'll go back to the stage?
Yeah, so I will definitely go back to the stage. I don't think I'm done at all. I love the sport so much. It's still in me. Like, I go to the gym, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. I still eat the same things. Like, I just really enjoy it. I usually always have a coach. I usually don't, like, talk about it too much, but I usually always have a coach anyways. I just love it. And so I know for sure that I'll come back. I think my biggest thing that I needed to work on, I remember specifically from Sandy, she was like, you need to grow, you need to get bigger. And I can see that. I'm kind of a tiny person on stage anyways. I'm a little tiny, so I understand.
Yeah. So what would you say your absolute favorite part of living the prep life is, if you were to pick like your top three?
Huh. That's a really good question. My favorite about living the prep life.
Because it sounds like you're really continuing no matter what season you're in, if you're competing or you're growing or planning a family, it sounds like you still kind of, you know, live out that lifestyle where you're, you know, training in the gym, you're eating mm-hmm. the foods, focusing on your nutrition. So I didn't know if you had like a favorite part, you know, if it's.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say one of my favorite parts about it is connection. So being able to connect with other women in the sport and people who also have a passion for this and who love it. There's nothing like it. Like, I love being able to connect with other women. I would say my second favorite is my husband. So it's so funny because he just makes this lifestyle so easy because he loves eating the things that I eat. And I also see that like every year he eats cleaner and cleaner. And he enjoys eating cleaner and cleaner. And this year, which is the first time that he's ever actually taken seriously, he actually joined a challenge to lose some weight, which he's not overweight at all by any means, but he wanted to do it. He's like, I'm going to do this challenge. And for the first time, he took it seriously. That's and awesome. I just thought that was so awesome to be able to like share that together, because he's also a coach. He's a head coach at Orange Theory. Oh, okay. And so being able to connect with him on like, you know, different clients and stuff. Whenever he has a client that asks him a certain question or something, he loves to come home and ask me my advice, even though he's smart and he has his own opinions and his own knowledge as well. I just love that he values my opinion and my advice and just different things. Like I've really, really enjoyed that part too. Yeah. That's been really special.
That's awesome. So if you were to go back in time and talk to yourself when you first, you know, watched the bodybuilding show as a teenager, what advice would you give yourself, you know, to kind of maybe do differently the next time? Or, you know, if you were to do kind of the whole process of this journey over, what would be one thing that you would tell your younger self?
That is so difficult. I have a lot of things to tell that little girl. I'd have so many things to tell her. I would tell her to start sharing from the beginning. So I think that even though I was never like a quiet person, I don't think that I ever really shared enough. I didn't realize how much sharing actually helped others. So yeah, it's cool to be like, this is what I do, but it's not really why you do it. It's really so you can help other people. So that was something that was, that's something that I would definitely tell her. And then I would also just tell her that, you know, she can do anything that she wants, you know, anything in life is possible, and that she really can do and be and live the life that she wants. And that's something that I would definitely tell her as well.
Love that. So do you have any advice for somebody that's looking to go into this sport, or someone that's wanting to turn pro?
Absolutely. Listen to your podcast. Hello. Listen to your podcast. All the podcasts, honestly, all of them are amazing. I would say that one of the best things that I think is super helpful, because I think you're going to stumble upon this regardless if you start doing this, but I would definitely start working on your mindset. Mindset is everything, and not only just mindset for the sport, but mindset for your relationships, mindset for your own mental health, mindset for your own self-worth. And, you know, you really have to believe that you can be the person before you become the person. You have to start doing the thing before you can be the person or do the thing. So definitely working on the mindset is going to be so, so, so good.
Awesome. And I don't know if you mind me asking this. You totally don't have to answer it if you want, don't want to, but I was just wondering what your confession would be if you were to tell your bikini diary.
Oh my God. You put me on the spot, girlfriend. Oh, I feel bad because I might have already said this confession.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
but right. I'll say it anyways. It's a good one. Okay, so my confession is that I used to do this thing where I would stop. I'd say to myself, okay, and this is like in prep, be like, okay, I'm going to get an ice cream cone. I'm going to do that. So I'd stop and get one ice cream cone. And then there would be another like McDonald's on the way. So I would stop at that McDonald's. And by the time you know it, I stopped at 3 McDonald's by the time I got home.
With 3 ice cream cones?
With 3 ice cream cones, yes. Okay. That happened a couple times.
Sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny. But I did it. It was, you know, I did all the things, like literally made all the mistakes, learned all the lessons. Like we've all been there. So
yes,
it's fun absolutely to share.
Yeah. It's just part of human nature. Sometimes these things happen, but as long as we learn from them, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So was there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to share with our listeners before we find out how to get in contact with you?
I don't think so. I think you really did a really, really good job, Amy. This was incredible. I really, really enjoyed like talking to you and connecting with you. Like it's been amazing to just be around you and seeing like, you know, you doing this podcast and you know, with your team and just all the things that you've been able to do. It's just been really incredible. And I'm so excited that I'm on your podcast.
Well, I'm so excited that you came on, and I just appreciate everything that you've done for the sport. I've listened to every single episode of your podcast as well. And so we definitely need to share the love. So can you let people know how to find your podcast, but also how to connect with you on social media and all of that and how they can get a hold of you? And I'll definitely put any kind of links that she may share in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the easiest way to connect with me is through my Instagram. It's Naima Fit. So NAIYMAFIT. The podcast is also amazing. I'd love more listeners. Definitely Bikini Diaries podcast. And we also have a private Facebook group, which I think it's beautiful for everyone. So it doesn't matter which podcast you listen to. It doesn't matter what team you're on. It's just really a way to connect. So the Bikini Diaries private Facebook group community is a really good one too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger. And you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And you can apply for the team at glamgirlbikini.com. Just hit the Get Started button. Thanks for listening, guys.